Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason on Inside Sources.
Welcome back to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. It's great to be with you today. As always, I am Boyd Matheson. If you're just joining us, we talked in the first segment of the program, mostly from President Biden's remarks this morning, following the passage of aid packages that will directly impact Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan, and humanitarian efforts in several spots of war zones around the world. And as we look at that, now we want to unpack a little bit in terms of the Ukraine portion of the program, the most significant piece of the puzzle that was passed. And we want to look at what does it actually mean now? President Biden said that he will start within hours delivering some of the promises to Ukraine in terms of munitions and assets. And we want to dig in and look under the surface in terms of what is that actually and what's that going to mean moving forward. As always, it's a great privilege to have on the show with us Mark Toth, a journalist and opinion contributor for The Hill, writes on national security and foreign policy. And Mark, welcome back to the show.
Boyd, good to be back on. Thank you.
So as you look at what has taken place, what the president called for this morning in terms of moving swiftly, what does this particular aid package mean in the context of where we are with Russia's invasion of Ukraine?
Boyd, overall, it's a good thing. In terms of the initial reporting that's coming out on the $1 billion that was announced today, that's headed at some point, hopefully today, not tomorrow, to Ukraine. We're still trying to get a handle on that. It's a little underwhelming at first, but the devil may be in the details, and it's going to take a few days to sift through that. But what we mean by underwhelming is it feels more like this initial package, this $1 billion, is really to staunch the bleeding. Ukraine is in the ER room at this point. And so we're seeing this package send more munitions, more artillery rounds, et cetera. And potentially, we're trying to read between the lines here, also some HIMARS missiles. However, it's not specific. It doesn't exactly say those are TACMs or the shorter range ones that they've been getting. So from that standpoint, we're wanting to see a little bit more in terms of changing the dynamics going forward on the battlefield. But at least for now, it's hopefully stabilizing Ukraine as well as giving them that morale shot in the arm.
Yeah, it seems to me that this is a morale boost as much as it is anything else. And it seems to me, obviously, this has taken months and months, way too long. And I think one of the things that has been a problem for the administration has been how slow they've been on the uptake of what's coming in and ended up in a very defensive posture and kind of a drip, drip, drip in terms of support. Is there any sign or any sense from those that you're talking to that maybe this could be a turning point and get Ukraine off of their back foot and onto a forward-leaning stance?
Right. It's a great question. It's the million-dollar question of this war. It's certainly needed. The president needs to lean into winning now. We've been in this situation where his fears of escalation have created this forever war that's just literally killing Ukrainians, civilians, and troops alike. We are seeing some encouraging signs before it came on air. The New York Times has been reporting that Ukraine has deployed TACMs that were given to them as part of that $300 million package several weeks back. And they used them to strike Berdyansk in what is occupied Ukraine. But it's that area that's kind of between the Crimea Peninsula and the Russian mainland on the Sea of Azov. They struck Russian troop formations there. As you know, my writing colleague, Colonel John Sweet, has been on your show quite a few times as well. He and I have been calling for that ability to interdict Russian forces long before they can get anywhere. And the reason that is encouraging to see that in action, is because we're picking up on that Kharkiv and Chasiv-Yar are the next areas that Putin is targeting. The foreign minister of Russia, Lavrov, is saying that's the case. The propaganda people have kicked in. Putin's Iron Doll, Olga Skupidovskaya, has said they basically we're going to attack Kharkiv to create yet another what they call sanitary zone. In my mind, that's just a call for genocide. So there are some encouraging signs, but we need to see more.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, that reporting from the New York Times as well as the AP talking about some of those longer range attackums being able to get deeper into Russia. Of course, early on in the war, the message was clearly don't do anything that's going to go deep into Russia. You've pointed out, as well as Colonel Sweet, that without the ability to go past just that front line, if you can't soften up what's behind that, then this really becomes such a slow slog that Ukraine really doesn't have the ability to win. They might be able to defend and hold a little longer, but there's really not a chance to win unless you can get some of that deeper strike capability.
Exactly, Boyd. You've grasped it in a nutshell. If you can think back to the childhood game of Risk that maybe many of yours, I'm sorry, listeners who have played with your own kids, it's kind of like one side gets to attack the other, but the other side doesn't. If you're holding that losing hand, you have no way to win.
Yeah.
And that's really where Ukraine has been at since the beginning of the war. Yes, there's been some wink-winking, and yes, Ukraine has been striking with drones and the like inside of Russia, but they've been denied the deep or the precision deep strike weapons, as we call them, to be able to interdict those forces. And those handcuffs have got to be taken off. There needs to be a dynamic change of thinking in the White House so that we lean into this winning strategy. And we're seeing these encouraging signs. Like I said, the ability to hit Berdyaev is a good thing. There was an airfield apparently struck by ATACMS as well, the long-range version, not the short-range cluster munitions that they've had so far, was struck as well in the last several days. But they also need to be able to go after Rostov-on-Don, which is another port city that's in Russia itself, but it's a key logistics center. People may remember from Prigozhin's uprising, because that's the city that he took hold of during that period of time. But if you're not hitting Russian forces there, that means you've got to be hitting them and their supplies and their munitions, et cetera, as they route those towards the battlefields in Ukraine, then you're going to have to do it on the front lines. And then that just becomes a war of mass. And it's just literally killing Ukrainians trying to defend that way.
Yeah.
So it's encouraging signs, but we need more of it. And the handcuffs just have to come off.
Yeah, and it's very clear that this just-in-time delivery, and I would say just a day late and a few munitions short kind of strategy, does just prolong and cost a lot of Ukrainian lives, to be sure. Give me a sense in terms of the president and the administration. It does seem like they haven't leaned into this idea of articulating a strategy as it relates to Ukraine and really what Zelensky and his generals need to do to actually win. Is that something you see on the horizon, or are we going to continue to see, can we de-escalate, or can we hope that Putin gets content with something or gets distracted by something? What's the path forward? What are you watching in the days ahead?
Right. Boyd, one, Putin is not going to give up. He's doubling down on this. He believes that he's got the U.S. coward, that our fears of escalation is going to let him eventually get what he wants in Ukraine. So in terms of what John and I are looking for is something markedly different out of the White House. Actually, a little bit of a preview of a column that we have coming out tomorrow in the Hill. We're basically saying he's got to stop, he being Biden, so predictable. They need to change it up. For instance, Putin is indeed, and it looks like it by all the indicators on the battlefield, they're moving forces forward. You know, we can track those logistical supplies and everything else coming into it. It looks like Kharkiv is the next major target. He's been indiscriminately bombing there, killing civilians and the like, and that city's going to soon be leveled. So if that's the case, Biden really needs to lean into it. He can do that by saying, hey, look, I get it. Now we realize Crimea is the decisive terrain of this war. We're going to equip Ukraine with all that it needs to be able to take Crimea. That may give Putin pause to stop in terms of what he's trying to do in Kharkiv and say, wait a minute, I can't risk that because now I'm going to have to watch my flank in Crimea.
Yeah.
So we're looking for those kind of things, and we're just looking for him to say the words wins. And as you pointed out, he has to develop a plan to win.
Yeah.
We just haven't seen it yet. Hard as we look, I don't see anything that it's there yet or that it's even taking shape yet, unfortunately.
Yeah. Great analysis, as always, Mark Toth, journalist, opinion contributor for The Hill. He is one of our go-to voices and the one that provides great insight to us on this front. Mark, thanks for making time for us today.
My pleasure, Boyd. Thank you and to you and your listeners.
All right. That's Mark Toth again, and such great insight and perspective in terms of what comes next. And we can't just continue to be in the just enough to defend. There's got to be a space where you can actually fight to win. A lot of discussions. Will there be a strategy? That'll be the question. We'll continue to follow it. We'll step aside for bottom of the hour news. More Inside Sources coming up next.